Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Well, you are in for a treat today. Welcome to Mission Accepted. I know that you know why we're here. I always say that, you know, I think half of you just show up to have a good chuckle. I think that you're like, no way would I want to be an entrepreneur. Do you hear what these guys go through? We might be your inspiration for not taking the risk. No. All stories aside, it has been an incredible journey. And I get to, you know what, really, I get to get up and I get to interview the coolest people doing the coolest thing. And I know that there's a lot of you out there doing super cool stuff. So you know what? You probably need to be where Aaron's sitting and you know what to do if you want to do that. But I'm super happy today because not only have me and Aaron connected on many different levels. One, she's in my hood. We got a Canadian girl in the house today and she's BC Canadian. So we're like, I was just telling her that I was heading to the Cure concert tonight. She's like, what? I know. I'm like, I'm sorry. I should have got you over here because she lives on the island. Anyways, this woman, since I met her, has been transforming. So I got introduced to her through another cool, groovy couple. And that's how it works, right? That's how it works. Cool people hang with cool people. It's just how it works. And it's interesting because, you know, there's those people in your life that, and particularly in your business, when they're like, you need to meet this person. You need to hear what this person has to say, that you take it to heart. And you're like, okay, that feels like the right thing to do. Because you get bombarded with all sorts of, you know, listen to me here, listen to me there. What does that look like here? But there truly is nothing better than a handshake. I know we live in a digital world. And a lot of times we do digital handshakes. We put people together in text. We put them together in LinkedIn. We put together, but there's nothing better than someone reaching out and going, look, I think this woman has something that you might be interested in, or there's something that you guys need to do together. And here we are doing stuff together, right? So very, very, very cool. I want to, let's see. You guys are like the best audience. I know that you're tired of hearing that, but you know what I think you are? I think you're kind of the transformation type of people today. I think you're a transformative audience today. I think that's what's going to happen. And if you're not now, you will be by the time that you get off, because Erin is in this incredible, I'm calling her the holistic entrepreneur, because here's someone who's got verse business, that really strong linear digital marketing. This is what you do, lead generation, whole world. The woman also made jewelry, had a business in jewelry. I find out more about her every time we talk, but she has gone into and has been in the program your business for leads, deprogram your brain for things that aren't serving you. It's really interesting, right? It's really interesting because the more you deprogram, then you kind of program differently. But I'm really looking forward to it because this woman is in the deep dive of transforming her own business and coming up with some pretty cool things that I knew that you guys would want to hear about. And never mind that, it is an interesting journey as an entrepreneur to keep evolving and being brave enough to evolve. Because look, you know, you hear like, she used to do jewelry, I used to do jewelry. And you're like, oh my gosh, why don't you anymore? Because there's an evolvement. Now you might come back to it. You might re-meet it. You know, nothing's ever gone forever, right? Sometimes people date their company like a teenage sweetheart and they marry it for the rest of their life. And then sometimes you do the dance. So Aaron, welcome to Mission Accepted, where we kind of chat and laugh about the journey.
Thank you for having me. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Absolutely. So look, that was kind of a multiplex introduction. I don't tend to do those too often, but so you've been an entrepreneur for how long now? And where did you first start?
Well, really, I've been an entrepreneur for the last like 25 years. When I was pregnant with my first child 25 years ago, I knew I didn't want to go back to my job. I was a floral designer I was making $11 an hour, like just over minimum wage. And I'm like, now, why would I put my baby in daycare, have someone else, spending all day with them? For what? I would be making like $2 an hour. So, and plus, something happens when you actually have the baby. You're like, there's no way I am dropping the baby off at daycare. Before you have the baby, you might think you'll be able to, but then the baby arrives and you're like, no way. I'm not trusting my baby to no one.
So an economic heartstring decision forces you in. So did you start doing flowers? Like, were you doing floral work at home, or what did you do?
No, I actually decided to look for a way to make money from home. Living in an apartment in North Vancouver at the time, and you'll get a chuckle out of this. One of the first things I did was I bought a whole bunch of wax. I was going to make candles.
All right. We are sisters.
Almost burnt the apartment down, the kitchen anyway, lit up, a bunch of wax on fire and everything. And then I walked into a bead store one day and I went, "Ooh, this looks like fun." And I spent like $250 on beads. I fell in love with making jewelry. And then I took the silversmith class, gold, all that kind of stuff. So, I evolved over time as my skills evolved and improved. And I just fell in love with it. So I was designing the jewelry, making it, and selling it. But it allowed me. I wasn't making a lot of money because I had no marketing skills back then, right? So I was doing like the local markets and that kind of thing, making enough money to like help out with groceries. But I was at home with my kids. One when I started, and then we had another. But that was the most important thing, make a little bit of extra money. At home with the kids. But also, I'm a big believer, maybe this isn't true for every woman, but for me, I knew that being a mom was fulfilling, but it wasn't enough. I needed my own thing, another outlet, A, where I could make some of my own money, and B, where I could go out and be around other adults and that kind of thing. So it filled that need, that desire perfectly.
And I think we hear a lot about that. I know for me, when I first started doing massage, I mean, when you talk to people that are creative, that's why I called you this holistic entrepreneur, right? Because it's creative. And I actually just finished answering a question in a magazine for LA. And it's like, why are you in the creative? And I'm like, building a business in its own essence, even if it's an accounting firm, has a creative aspect to it. It's right, it's the evolvement, it's building, it's designing. And I think that there's many of us, myself included, when I first started my massage practice, I would go to Kinko's, remember? And if it was a good week with massage, I would do color flyers. And if I didn't make any money, it was black and white. And I had a nanny that would take my daughter for 2 hours, which was justifiable in my mind. And I would go do a massage, and then she'd bring her back, and we'd play and nurse and eat lunch and all that. And that was how I did my business, like 2 hours on, 2 hours off. And that's how we built. And it was very cottage industry, but I think you have a very industrious mind. I mean, when you talk about needing to have that, I think that's instrumental in kind of how you have just continued to do that. So, okay, so you don't burn the house down, yay for you. You start making jewelry, yay for you. And you're rocking your world as a mom and a, I guess, cottage industry woman. And then where'd you go from there?
Well, everything kind of moved along that path until the day I woke up on my 44th birthday. So I did the math. I did the math. I realized if I was going to live till I was 88, then my life was half over. My life was half lived. At this point, I'm now middle-aged. Now, I call this the midlife realization. Everybody has a realization around this time or whatever age. Certain things happen in your life which start this realization. For me, it was also the fact that my boys were at that time 12 and 15. And they're like, oh, They're in high school. They're way more independent now. They're hanging out with their friends and have their own lives. They're soon going to graduate and go on to whatever is next for them. Right. So I was looking at the second stage of my life, like the next season of my life was staring me in the face. Now, what naturally happens, in case you haven't gone through this yet, buckle up. Everyone, male, female, whatever, you ask yourself these questions. How happy am I? Am I fulfilled? Am I living a life of joy and passion? Am I having enough fun and adventure? You know, am I living my purpose? What is my purpose? Who am I? I don't even know anymore because I've been Jack and White's mom for all these years. Who am I? Right. And you also ask yourself, am I where I thought I would be at this time in my life? So, to most of those questions, I answered no. So then what popped into my head was, if not now, then when? Are you going to just kind of fake it the second half of your life? Or are you going to do what you need to do to make yourself happy? Because happiness is an internal job. It's not up to anyone else but you. So I decided to make some changes in my life, big changes. I changed everything except my kids. I kept my kids, of course. Everything else changed. I split up the marriage, I became single. And then my next thought was, splitting up is expensive. And I didn't want to take any money from him because I was the one splitting up the marriage. So I kind of, I went, okay, I need to start making a lot more money here. I know what kind of life I want for the second half. I want a more adventure, more fun. Like, I've always been a free spirit. So it was kind of a normal, thought process, but I wanted to be able to like pick up and travel. If my kids were going to be off living on their own, I'm not going to sit here in the house all day long, kind of thing, just making my jewelry. I wanted more adventure. I wanted more out of life. I wanted more excitement. So then I went, okay, I need to make more money. And it didn't really occur to me at the time to maybe do something like learn marketing so I could continue making my money, but just sell more of it, like maybe online. Didn't even occur to me. I had no computer skills. I didn't even know how to copy and paste at the time. So I was on Facebook one day and I fell into the world of online marketing, network marketing, affiliate marketing. And my first 4 months, it was terrible. I made a grand total of $300 after blowing 6 grand on my business, but it was a blessing. It was a blessing because it forced me to realize I didn't know what I was doing. So I was, I heard that most people never make a dime online. And I'm like, okay, so there's 97% of people working online not making any money. There's 3% making a lot of money. So I need to figure out what the 3% are doing and do that. So that's when I was introduced to the whole world of attraction marketing, personal branding, building an audience, attracting people to you, providing value to your audience, and then you make offers to your audience. So I jumped into the world of learning how to do this whole online business thing, and I had myself a six-figure business within 9 months. And of course, what happens to most people when they step into the online business space, personal development comes into play. And I had always thought like all this personal development, so, oh, woo woo, what a money grab, what a load of crap. Until I was kind of pushed into it. And what really happened was I realized that if I was going to be successful building my online business, I would have to become the person capable of doing it. And the person I was not capable because deep down, I had all these limiting beliefs. I had baggage. I believed I was dumb. I believed I was stupid. So I did not believe I had the intelligence to be able to do something like that. So I knew I had to work on myself. So that's what I did. I dove in, completely reprogrammed my own brain, became a completely different person. I transformed my mindset. I mastered my own psychology. Well, I'm still always mastering it.
Yes, of course. So let's take a little breath there, because that's quite a journey. And I also think that quite a level of awareness. I think it takes a lot to admit. I mean, it's one thing to admit to yourself, I'm not good at tech. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at marketing. I'm not good. And, you know, we all see people, we're entrepreneurs. So we see people struggle in different areas. And there seems to be this facade of pretend you've got it all together, particularly in the online world, right? Pretend you have it all together. Pretend you know what you're doing, even if you don't, this whole around fake it till you make it. It's another thing to stop and say, I don't really know what I'm doing and I need to divert, because that's a financial fear right there. It's like, you've only made 300 bucks or whatever that you made and you spent, you know, let's just say your ROI was a little off ratio, but not really when you take a look at the fact that starting a new business has expense, and either you learn before or you earn and you learn, right? You know, I'm a big fan of that whole sector and that whole industry, mostly because of the personal development, but it takes a lot of bravery to divert and go, okay, whoa, it's not the company, it's not the products, it's not the platform, it's not the lack of training, it's not the upline, it's not people below me not doing anything, it's not, and go, you know what, it could be me. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, how many people do we know? I tried it. It didn't work for me. Dun, 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 dun. And when I'm talking with people and I do a little Janis Joplin on them, I'm like, there's five reasons why a company doesn't work for you. And one of them is you. One of them is you. And that's the stuff that you're talking about. So I just wanted to take a breath there, because there's lots of people that are struggling at different aspects in whatever business, whether it's online or you sell surfboards or you're a coach or you're an accountant. I mean, really, honestly, stopping and pulling back and not just thinking, what is it that I'm not doing right in my marketing? What is it that I'm not doing right in my finances? But what's going on in here that's driving that lack of success? That's a step of bravery that, you know, good on you, really good on you. So talk about, you did some personal growth work. I mean, I don't know how it came to you, what you did, who you chose to hang out with or what have you, but tell us a little bit about that. And then how did you flip it? I mean, you went from, I made 600 bucks to I went to six figures.
Well, it really, I mean, the first step in self-awareness, in my opinion, is becoming aware of your own thoughts. What you say to yourself, because the truth is your thoughts and emotions and behaviors are not who you are. They are not who you are. So you have to know that, because this is when people label themselves and really develop these horrible beliefs in themselves, because they think they are that, right? Mm. Like, I truly believe my identity was a stupid person.
Right.
Not helpful.
Not helpful. Not thinking so.
So first step really is becoming aware of your own thoughts, what you say to yourself about yourself, because that's how you're identifying. So if you think you're, you know, oh, too fat, too thin, too tall, too young, too old, not worthy, you're a victim, all these things that you're saying to yourself are creating you to self-sabotage. Right? I mean, what you say to yourself about yourself becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
So that's very powerful. That's a mic drop. And so how did you go about, because I know that you had a transformative life. I know that you are continuing on the path, but let's face it, you've got a pretty good handle. I mean, you've moved some pretty strong internal mountains. Now I think you're just kind of working on the snow peaks, right? You're pretty versed. You're downloading with other people. So if someone's noticing exactly what you're saying, if someone's listening out there and they're like, I say that to myself, I say I'm not educated enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I can never walk across that stage, or look at them in their business. I had a woman yesterday say, she's like, I just heard a woman, you know, she's on Instagram and, you know, she's got these challenges and she's been in business 2 years and she made 287,000 and I haven't made that in 3 years. And I'm like, not your story, not your journey. So compare yourself to your insights to other people's outsides. But what do you say when someone's saying to themselves, how come they can do it and I can't? Something must be wrong with me.
Nothing. A, you have to know there's nothing wrong with you. As long as you keep telling yourself there's something wrong with you, you will create things. Did you know that you can take someone who's got like a symptom of something and they'll go Google it and they'll like come across, I don't know, Parkinson's, right? And then they'll check out all the symptoms and suddenly they manifest all those symptoms. The mind is that powerful. So A, you have to recognize that you're not your thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. And then B, you have to recognize these, the negative crap that you're saying to yourself that is holding you back from going after the business and the life that you want. You have to recognize it's bullshit. It's a story that that you've been telling yourself from before the age of 7.
Wow.
Beliefs in ourself are imprinted into our subconscious minds before the age of 7. And then what happens? Something in your life happens where it's like, boom, you now think this about yourself. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. And then other things, you continue living your life and all these little events happen that reinforce that belief, right? So that thought that I'm not good enough becomes a belief. Then it's reinforced even more and it becomes a conviction. Now that's your identity.
Right.
So you have to recognize that this is your story, that that's all it is a BS story. Once you begin to see that, to recognize that, you can self-correct. You start calling yourself out on your own stuff and you will begin to reprogram your brain. So anytime I was doing something, I used to tell myself I was stupid, I don't know, 300 or 400 times a day.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah.
I guess when you start to become aware of it, then you start to hear it, right? Other than that, you're just walking around your house dusting or doing laundry or making dinner or doing work or singing or whatever. And in this background, there's this tape going, wow, that's powerful.
Yeah,
that's a lot of times.
Let's say I don't know, spilled my coffee. Oh, you stupid idiot. That was stupid. Or, you know, I'm not techie. That's just not my area of expertise. So how many times did I call myself stupid when I couldn't even turn on my own TV? I have a mental block about electronics and all that stuff. It's just not where my gift. Now I accept that and I kind of celebrate it. Right. But so I managed to find areas like times all day long where I thought I was stupid. And here's the thing too, the reticular activation system kicks in and your brain will actually look for things in your life where you can now call yourself stupid and bring back that feeling that you're actually addicted to.
Right.
So you'll look for things in your life to reaffirm that belief in yourself. It's crazy.
That is crazy. That's crazy stuff. But it's real stuff. And when you think about it, it's actually quite logical. And so you're talking about being able to call yourself out. And I mean, I know that you take people through this whole process, but for those that are listening, it's like just stopping and saying that's not true. That's a story. It's not my story. It sounds like, wow.
Yeah. You notice the thoughts. And then you self-correct. So for me, it was like, stop saying that. It's not even true. That's a load of crap. You know, and you don't want to change it to you're brilliant. You're one of the most brilliant people on the planet. No, you don't need to do that. A, your subconscious mind is going to fight you on that. So it could just be you're plenty smart enough. Like, I don't care what my IQ is. I don't care. I'm plenty smart enough to go and accomplish the things that I want to accomplish. A, also because I now believe I can.
Right.
Right. So it's self-correcting, not going ridiculously far into the other direction, but recognizing that it's just your story you've been telling yourself and you no longer speak to yourself that way. Girlfriend, we don't speak to ourselves that way anymore. You're plenty smart enough. You're plenty good enough. You're plenty thin enough. You're plenty tall enough. You're plenty plaid enough.
Plaid. All right.
And you
That's
tell
good.
yourself something enough times, you will believe it.
True, true. True and then true.
Yeah,
So look,
reconditioning the mind.
reconditioning the mind. So you've shared with us one of the ways, and I know that we can't dig into it or we'd be doing a full-on session in what you do, right? So just listening to your story on how you became an entrepreneur and why you became an entrepreneur, very functional reason why you became an entrepreneur, you started to love it, and then you started to really see that this could be a part of what you want, a part of what you wanted to do. And it also satisfied other things inside of you other than being a parent, right? So here you are. Take us all the way up to today. Take us all the way up to today. So you've had this journey and you've had an incredible life in the world of digital marketing and online marketing and all of that good stuff. So where do things sit for Erin today?
Beautiful place, beautiful place, with the whole midlife realization that what led to the awakening, that led to the transformation. I've realized that I want to help people with the knowledge and the skills to be able to reprogram their own brains. I've done it for myself. I can help other people do it, and we can do it fast. Can do it fast. You don't need 25 years of therapy. You can do it really, really quickly when you know how to do it. There's shortcuts. So I feel that this is why I'm here. This has become my passion. I never thought I would have any impact in this life, right? Because I thought I was stupid. Right? I'll never be anything. I'll never be able to help anyone and create impact. And now I'm realizing, holy shit, girlfriend, you create a lot of impact, help a lot of people who are going through, all this mental stuff and help people reinvent themselves and transform so that they can live their best life. I mean, let's be real. Money may not bring you happiness. What brings you happiness? Like, what does every single human being really, really want? When you break it down, everybody wants the same thing. A lot of people think it's money. Oh, I just need money. When you break it down, everybody wants happiness. People just want to be happy. And when you get such good control over your own psychology, your own thoughts, your own emotions, and then your behaviors, you get to be as happy as you want.
It's true.
Being able to master your psychology so much to the point where, like, my kids think I'm nuts sometimes because I can, like, bring about a state of such pure joy, pure bliss at the drop of a hat that I'll just burst into tears. And of course, people always assume something's wrong, right? Like, I was on a flight one time and I was bawling my, I was quietly bawling my eyes out. And the stewardess obviously assumed that I was afraid of flying and I was like panicking or something happened. Maybe I lost a loved one or something, right? And she's like, oh my God. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm just really, really freaking happy. She's like, oh, it's kind of weird. It's not for me because I've
Well, it's
taught
not the norm.
myself.
Yeah, it's not the normal response to happiness,
Yeah.
right? But we all know when you're so happy that you cried, right? We all know those feelings. And so I think you've really nailed it when you talk about mastering your own psychology. And I don't think you can do that alone. I mean, I know you can't do that alone. We need people in that process to shine those mirrors of where we want to go before we get there and reflect back and be that cheerleading squad for ourselves that we can't yet be. And even still, I mean, look at, I've been doing this game for a long time, Erin, so have you. And every time, even when you want to go to that next level, when you try to break to that next level in your business or that next pay level in your business or that next depth level in your relationships or whatever, by nature, you're going to get tested because you've neuronally wired yourself for here. Now you're trying to rewire yourself for there, and you're going to come up against yourself, even on a, it might be a smaller scale. You might be able to recognize it, but it sure in heck is helpful when someone else like dials in with you, right?
Absolutely.
We
And
all
that's
need
the whole
that.
thing. You almost become stagnant, even no matter what your success level is. Like, I don't care if you're making $1 million a year, you become stagnant. And you really hit on something there, Deb. Like, it's my belief that when you become stagnant, you're stagnant for a reason. Recognize you're stagnant, not go, oh my God, go into the whole victim mode, pity party thing. That's actually a sign for you to level up.
Mm-hmm.
These are all steps of leveling up. They're all steps to your own personal evolution, the evolution of your business, the evolution of who you are as a human being. So recognizing that is like, oh, I'm supposed to level up right now. This is what happened to me back in like December, January. It's like, I'm supposed to level up again here. Right. So I kind of looked for where I was supposed to go and I started paying attention to signs, you know, and had all these little epiphanies. And then things just start lining up. Like that's when we connected, when I was going through that. And like, wait, you do what? Oh, we totally need to be connected. And people start showing up in your life and opportunities and signs. And it becomes crazy.
Yes.
And it does like, become what crazy. What the hell is going on here? In a good way.
Well, and I think it's really important to say that when you get pushed to level up, that no matter how far you've gone, I mean, I always said, I was coaching someone out yesterday and I'm like, I would want to know that the person that's coaching me is coaching or learning or continuing to better themselves, because that is, it's just how it works, right? It literally, literally is how it works. And you talk about the people showing up and the books or this indication, it's like, you know, the signs, whenever you say, I wonder if that's a sign, good chance, because you see things all the time. I see things all the time. I see commercials all the time. Well, in the last 3 days, there's been a commercial for Ireland.com. I was like, huh. First time I saw it, I was like, huh, that's interesting. By the third time, I'm like, all right. Now, we all know that I'm going to Ireland next year, but I'm like, well, maybe I need to get there a little sooner. Let's just see what the, let's just see what gets revealed to me, right? It's like having the same book thrown at your feet three times, you'd start to go, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
I'm supposed to read this.
Maybe I'm supposed to read this. Oh, look what came in the mail today. Look, we could talk forever and ever. And honestly, if you want to hear Erin share again, we'll just listen to this recording over and over. But no, she is going to be a keynote speaker at the Stand Up, Speak Up and Show Up. Yes, you. That means that you show up if you want to speak. That means you show up if you want to be inspired and motivated. And it is this kind of methodology that she's going to do a deep dive into alongside of numerous other women talking about their area of expertise, whatever that is, whether it's music, whether it's finance, whether it's forgiveness, whatever it is, right? And so we've all come together. And guess what, guys? There's 375 women. So sometimes when the calling comes, you might not want to pick up the phone. No, I'm kidding. The calling comes, it all rolls out the way it's supposed to. And so Erin is speaking. We're super excited. If you want to reach out to us and ask for her special class that she's going to be teaching, absolutely. She's going to be in the book of 262. You guys know that book and it's going to be everywhere. But you can also reach her, you know, reach her beforehand. You can reach out to her beforehand and ask whatever it is that you can ask while you're listening to this, driving or what have you. So Erin, where can people reach you and what should they reach out to you for?
Ooh, all kinds.
Ooh, ooh.
All kinds of stuff.
I wasn't prepared for that one. Yeah.
Well, if you're wanting to make money online, build your, you know, if you start a business, build it faster. If you are looking to reinvent yourself and level up and master your own psychology, I can help you do that and do it quickly. I actually have a workshop coming up, probably at the end of June, beginning of July, where I'm going to help people be doing this.
Okay. And you may not be listening to this in June or July, but here's what we know, that Erin runs her classes. This just happens to be the next one that she's running. So whether you hear this, she's always running these classes. They're fantastic. I love that midlife realization that you had. Let's take it back. That midlife realization. And look, you guys, you may not be at midlife, or you may be what you consider past real midlife. It is that realization whenever it comes. And you're right. It tends to come around that chunk of time between, you know, 40 to 60, where you're like, where and what and how and quicker. I love how you said that you can kind of, you know, hack that, because the self-discovery process takes a while, because you discover it, you bury it, you discover it, you work a little bit, you go back, you got things to do. But when you're working with somebody And they've got, you know, it's kind of like getting healthier quicker. I mean, there's lots of ways to do that, right? But when you're fighting against your own brain, that's a tough one. So if there's ways to have success quicker, and it's not about, like you said, it's not about like getting to $100,000 or $1 million a month or whatever quicker, even though that's not a bad thing. It actually allows you to, what do you want that money for? What do you want that next level in your relationship for? What do you, it's just getting to that place of completeness or happiness or state of joy or state of peace much quicker. And why not? Like, why not? So I'm super excited. I'm super looking forward to what it is you're putting out in the world. And with that, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I have two questions. One's going to be pertinent to this and the other one's going to be not. So you've talked a lot about, you know, everything that you've talked about, and you've talked about getting to things quicker. And I, as you know, I'm a top performance junkie. You know, I love being able to share or optimize what people are doing. What are one of the things that you do for your life or your business that you feel is kind of a hack that you really are able to optimize top results?
I look for the lessons in everything. So if something isn't going my way, whatever it may be, I will ask myself the question why I co-created it to happen for me. What am I meant to get from this? What am I meant to learn? And when you get really good at that, you grow as a human way faster. Because you're open to the lessons, but also you can take something that like would have, you know, years ago taken me out mentally for a while, and I can deal with it. I can nip it in the bud within 30 seconds and be grateful for whatever, you know, crappy thing just happened.
Right.
Reframing the way you look at things. You're not, you know, your vibration isn't spiraling downward and going, oh, poor me, and, you know, joining the pity party and slipping into victim mode. You're thinking like a creator. Why did I co-create this to happen? What am I meant to learn? And when you find something good about it, what you can learn, you just become that much stronger. You become invincible when you can think this way.
I love that. Co-creating, you know, the acknowledgement of co-creation. Okay, so now there's a completely different question. And so it's you and you, girl, and you are on your way to a desert island and you are packing your little suitcase and that's it. You're there and that's it. You're staying there. And you've got room for one album to slide into your suitcase to take with you. What album could you not imagine not being able to listen to for the rest of your days?
I would have to say Pink Floyd, Dark Side.
Pink Floyd.
Classic. Every song is pretty different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh. Feeling.
It's a very transformative one, that's for sure. Lots of stories. You get to transform Dark Side of the Moon, yeah. Pink Floyd. Oh my gosh, my friend. Well, as always, it's a pleasure to get to know you a little bit better. And this will not be the last time you're on Mission Accepted. And look, listeners, you guys know what to do. So I told you that you were going to transform today, and hopefully that you did. And hopefully you walk away with a couple of really cool tips that you can use in your life. We will see you at the Stand Up, Speak Up, Show Up event. My gosh, they are on the eighth day of every month, all the way up to International Women's Day. You must join us on International Women's Day. This is an open free event globally for women and men. So please come along. We want to see you and we expect to see you. And until we meet again, as we always will, you be well and stay groovy. And thanks again, Erin, for joining us today.